Welcome, Truth Seekers, to the Truth Seeker Weekly Briefing. This is the mainstream media news segment of your deep dive, and we're brought to you by the Great Awakening Report.
Glad to be here.
It's Friday, August 15th, 2025. And what a week it's been in the news. Just a whirlwind.
Absolutely. A lot going on.
So we're here to take this stack of the week's most featured news, you know, the articles, the developments, key details, and really pull out the important stuff.
The nuggets of knowledge, the insight.
Exactly. We want to give you a shortcut, really, to being truly well-informed, helping you see the bigger picture, not just, you know, scattered headlines.
Indeed. Our mission today is to help you cut through all that noise, see the deeper currents shaping our world.
We've got five stories that seem, well, pretty disconnected at first glance.
But when you view them together, they reveal quite a fascinating tapestry of global and domestic change. Transformation, really.
That's right. We'll be unpacking everything. There's a high-stakes international summit happening today.
Mm-hmm.
A surprising shift in a major U.S. city. Economic tensions looming.
Global powers involved there.
Right. A dazzling celestial event, too, believe it or not.
A bit of perspective.
And even some unprecedented changes within a key federal agency. So, get ready. We're going to connect some dots.
Let's do it. One, the Trump-Putin-Alaska summit. A high-stakes diplomatic crossroads.
Okay, let's jump right into this first one because, like I said, it's happening now, today.
Yeah.
August 15th.
The Trump-Putin-Alaska summit.
At Joint Base Elmendorf Richardson, Anchorage. This is a massive diplomatic event.
It really is. And what's fascinating here, it's not just the meeting itself, but the whole context around it.
You've got President Trump, Russian President Putin, sitting down with top officials. Yep. Lavrov's there, Belousov.
Yeah, the senior teams. And the central focus, obviously, is the Russia-Ukraine war.
Right. Trump's aiming to explore terms for a possible ceasefire, potential security guarantees for Ukraine, but outside NATO, that's a key point.
It is, but here's where it gets really interesting or complicated, depending on your view.
Ukraine itself is notably absent.
Conspicuously absent. And they've already rejected any deal that involves conceding territory, our sources confirm.
Which makes you wonder about the outcome, doesn't it?
It does. And the choice of Alaska, you mentioned that. Our sources highlight it was partly chosen because it's outside the reach of the ICC's arrest warrant for Putin.
An interesting detail, then.
It raises a big question. What does this meeting signal beyond the immediate conflict?
Yeah, what's the deeper game here?
Well, our sources suggest sort of two main views. Supporters see it as, you know, a vital chance for high-stakes diplomacy.
A necessary step, maybe?
Possibly. But critics, they view it more as political theater, something that sidelines key players, especially Ukraine.
And we're already seeing pro-Ukraine demonstrations in Anchorage because of that.
That's right. It underscores the controversy.
And Trump has positioned himself, as he often does, as the deal maker, ready to walk away if there's no real progress.
Mm-hmm. But analysts are warning that any agreements reached without Ukraine directly involved, well, they might face serious problems.
Legitimacy issues, enforcement challenges.
Exactly. So putting this all together, what does it mean for the bigger picture?
What's the takeaway?
If we connect this to the broader context, our sources hint the summit could ripple out much further than expected.
Beyond just Ukraine.
Way beyond. It suggests U.S. foreign policy might be shifting, maybe from reactive to more strategic.
Interesting. Strategic how?
With potential moves that could alter global alliances, energy markets, the whole balance of power, really, far beyond this specific conflict, to Trump's D.C. takeover of Capitol Police, a domestic power shift.
Okay, moving from that international stage now to something very significant domestically.
Right here in the U.S.
President Trump's recent actions in Washington, D.C. Our sources are highlighting this, and it's definitely not just local news. Feels more like a, well, federal takeover.
That's the term being used. What's fascinating here is how it happened. President Trump invokes Section 740 of the D.C. Home Rule Act.
Declaring a public safety emergency.
Exactly. And using that to seize control of the Metropolitan Police Department, the MPD.
He deployed about 800 National Guard troops.
And redirected federal agencies, DEA, FBI, ATF, DHS, all under the command of the U.S. Marshals and Attorney General Pam Bondi.
So a very centralized command structure now.
Very much so. And Bondi then appointed the DEA chief, Terry Cole, as emergency police commissioner.
Effectively displacing D.C.'s own police chief, Pamela Smith, and the mayor, Muriel Bowser.
Right, sidelining local leadership, plus another big change, Those long-standing sanctuary city policies in D.C.
Gone.
Rescinded, now requiring full cooperation between MPD and federal immigration enforcement.
I see. Wow. Okay, that raises huge questions about the balance of power, doesn't it?
Absolutely. And local officials are pushing back hard. D.C. Attorney General Brian Schwalb, Mayor Bowser, Chief Smith, they've already filed a lawsuit.
Arguing this exceeds presidential authority.
That's their claim. Chief Smith even warned, quite starkly, that this poses a greater threat to public order than anything she's seen in her 30-year career.
That's a strong statement. But what about the justification, the emergency? Our sources mentioned something interesting about the crime data.
Yeah, this is a key point. The official crime stats seem to contradict the emergency justification. Violent crime in D.C. apparently reached a 30-year low in 2024.
A low?
Yeah.
Not a surge justifying an emergency?
According to the data cited, no. Which makes the whole thing more complex.
So if we connect this to the bigger picture,
yeah,
what are the sources suggesting?
They suggest this isn't just about D.C. security right now. It signals, perhaps, a federal readiness to intervene more directly in urban governance, in law enforcement.
Setting a precedent, maybe?
Possibly laying groundwork for a broader domestic security posture. The language in some sources even points to an anticipation of civil unrest.
Linked to what?
Linked specifically to mass illegal immigration and potential organized insurgent activity. That's the context being presented. 3, U.S.-China tariff truce deadline looms. Economic and geopolitical intersections.
Okay, let's pivot again now to the global economic stage. Big things happening there, too.
Always interconnected.
The U.S.-China tariff truce. Remember that. It was meant to ease tensions.
Well, it's set to expire this week.
And that's sparking renewed fears of a trade war, something that could, frankly, really shake up global markets.
Definitely. And what's fascinating, or maybe concerning, is that negotiators haven't announced an extension or a new deal. Nothing.
So, uncertainty reigns.
Complete uncertainty. Businesses on both sides are bracing for tariffs, potentially snapping back onto key goods. And the timing, it's sensitive.
How so? It coincides directly with what we just talked about, Trump's summit with Putin.
Exactly. It just highlights this delicate balancing act. Economic priorities, political ones, security concerns, they're all tangled up.
It's never just one thing, is it?
Never. And our sources also mention markets are watching other things closely this week, too. U.S. inflation data is coming out.
Always important.
Q2 GDP reports from the U.K., EU, Japan, and even an update from Norway's massive sovereign wealth fund.
The $1.9 trillion one. What about it?
About its investments in the Israeli defense sector. So lots of moving economic pieces globally.
Okay, so connecting these dots. The tariff truce deadline. The global economic jitters.
If we look at the bigger picture, our sources really emphasize how critical the balance of trade is, especially for the U.S. economy's survival and future prosperity.
It's fundamental.
Absolutely. These trade disputes, they're not just about dollars and cents, are they? They're leverage points.
And a bigger contest.
A much larger contest for global influence. The outcome here will definitely shape the U.S. economy's resilience going forward. 4, perceived meteor shower peaks, a celestial counterpoint.
All right, let's take a brief detour now. A moment of maybe wonder amidst all this earthly turbulence.
A cosmic perspective shift.
The annual Perseid meteor shower. It peaked just a few days ago, August 12th, 13th. Dazzling stargazers everywhere.
Yeah, what's lovely here is that even with a bright moon, a waning gibbous moon, which washes out fainter meteors.
Right, makes it harder to see.
Even so, the brightest ones, the fireballs, they still delivered some really memorable moments. Visibility was down maybe 10, 20 per hour instead of the usual 6,100.
Still something, though.
Oh, yes. These are fast, luminous meteors. They come from Comet Swift Tuttle. They still put on a show.
And astronomy groups were encouraging people to get out, right? To rural spots, higher ground, for clear views.
Exactly. And for those who couldn't, there were live streams providing real-time coverage, too.
And hey, if you missed the peak, sources remind us the shower is actually active until August 24th.
So there's still a chance, especially as the moon wanes further, you might still catch some bright ones.
Nice. So, connecting this seemingly random event to our bigger picture, is there a connection?
Well, symbolically, yes. Our sources suggest this celestial event offers a kind of counterpoint to all the heavy news.
Geopolitics, domestic shifts.
Exactly. It's a reminder, isn't it, that even amidst all our earthly turbulence, these vast cosmic cycles just continue unchanged.
Puts things in perspective.
It can, yeah. Moments of wonder like that can shift our viewpoint, ground us in something, well, bigger than ourselves. 5, IRS leadership shakeup. restructuring federal revenue collection.
Okay, final story for today. Let's turn our attention back to a critical domestic institution, the IRS.
An agency that affects everyone.
And our sources are revealing some really unprecedented leadership instability there. Sweeping workforce changes happening throughout 2025.
What's fascinating, or maybe alarming, is the sheer speed of the turnover at the top.
President Trump recently removed Commissioner Billy Long after less than 2 months on the job.
Less than 2 months. Reassigned him as ambassador to Iceland.
Wow. And Treasury Secretary Scott Bessent has stepped in as acting commissioner.
Marking the sixth leadership change at the IRS in just over 6 months.
Six changes in 6 months? That's chaotic.
It signals significant instability. And this is happening alongside deep staff cuts.
How deep?
The IRS has lost more than 25% of its workforce. That's over 25,000 employees, layoffs, buyouts, resignations, the lot.
25,000? That's huge.
It is. And while some cuts, like in the Office of Civil Rights and Compliance, were apparently partially reversed.
There are warnings.
Yes. A watchdog has warned these reductions could seriously delay tax processing, especially with that new One Big Beautiful Bill Act, the tax reform being implemented.
Right. New complex rules, fewer staff. Seems like a potential problem.
Definitely. And in response to these shortages, the IRS is accelerating its use of technology. AI.
Artificial intelligence at the IRS.
Bessent is promising automation will offset the loss of revenue agents.
Okay, that raises a big question, though. AI streamlining things versus what?
Well, proponents argue AI could streamline processing, sure, but critics worry it might actually hinder taxpayer support.
Especially for people without easy digital access.
Exactly. Those who rely on human interaction or can't easily navigate online systems.
So, putting all these pieces together, the leadership churn, the staff cuts, the AI push, what does this mean? What's the big conclusion?
Connecting this to the bigger picture, our sources indicate we're seeing evidence of the conversion, the transformation of the IRS into the ERS.
ERS, External Revenue Service.
That's the term mentioned, potentially by 2026. This points to a really fundamental restructuring of how federal revenue is collected.
More than just internal changes.
Much more. It might foreshadow a shift towards a more centralized system, perhaps even internationally integrated financial oversight.
Like global standards for tax collection.
That's the implication. A potential alignment with broader global financial systems. It's a significant potential shift. Connecting the dots. The big picture.
Okay. Wow. So we just covered a lot of ground. A high-stakes summit in Alaska.
A federal takeover in D.C.
Looming trade war fears.
A meteor shower.
And a massive shakeup at the IRS. They seem like really disparate threads, don't they?
On the surface, yes.
But how do they all connect? What's the aha moment here for you, for our truth seekers?
Well, when you view them together, these five stories start to sketch a pretty clear picture. A world in rapid transformation, geopolitically, economically, institutionally.
It's not just random events.
No, it feels like underlying strategies pointing towards a decisive restructuring of power. The Trump-Putin summit suggests that shift in U.S. foreign policy we talked about.
While the D.C. police situation signals a federal readiness for maybe broader domestic security actions.
Exactly. And the U.S.-China tariff deadline. It just underscores how fragile and interconnected global trade is.
Showing how economic disputes become leverage, tools in a bigger game.
A larger contest for global influence, absolutely. And even the Perseids, that meteor shower.
Our celestial counterpoint.
It serves as that symbolic reminder of constants amidst all this earthly change and turbulence.
Right. And finally, the IRS, that leadership shakeup.
Especially with that mention of an external revenue service. It points directly to that fundamental restructuring of federal revenue collection.
Aligning with broader global financial system changes, as you said.
That's what the sources suggest is happening.
So pulling back one last time, looking at this whole canvas.
Yeah.
What does it all mean for you, our listener? What's the bottom line?
Taken together, these events reveal this convergence. Diplomacy, domestic security, economic strategy, institutional reconfiguration, they're all intersecting.
It's not business as usual.
Far from it. Our sources conclude this looks like a coordinated shift, a move toward a new political and economic architecture.
Redefining things like national sovereignty, global power alignments.
And the very mechanisms of governance. It seems to be happening in real time. A fundamental recalibration of the systems we know. Outro.
Well, Truth Seeker, we really hope this deep dive into the mainstream media news for the past week has given you a clearer, maybe more connected understanding
of the currents shaping our world.
It is a lot to take in, we know, but seeing these connections, that's where the real power lies, doesn't it? The power of informed perspective.
Absolutely. So, something for you to mull over this week. Consider how these seemingly distinct events, a global summit, a domestic power shift, economic tensions, institutional restructuring, might actually be pieces of a much larger puzzle, one that's still unfolding.
Yeah, what further questions does this raise for you? About sovereignty, maybe? The future of global governance in this rapidly changing landscape?
Some big questions to ponder.
Definitely a powerful thought to carry with you. Thank you for joining us for this deep dive on the mainstream media news brought to you by the Great Awakening Report.
Until next time.
Keep seeking the truth.